Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Lord Krishna shows the universal form, text 17. Puranena Rajapate Sarva Dasya Pidita Arajake Vakshyamana Jigyor Dasyun Samadita Para formally Anena by Krishna Rajapate O King of Raja Sarva those who were honest Dasyu Pidita, being disturbed by rogues and thieves. Arajake, when there was an irregular government. Rakshamana, were protected. Jigyu, conquered. Dasyun, the rogues and thieves. Samedita flourished. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Nanda Maharaj, as recorded in history, there was an irregular incapable government. Indra, having been dethroned, and people were being harassed and disturbed by thieves. This child appeared in order to protect the people, enable them to flourish, and he curbed the rogues and thieves. Prabhupada, Indra is the king of the universe. Demons, thieves, and rogues always disturb Indra. Indrari Vakulam Lokam. But when the Indraris, the enemies of Indra, become prominent, Krishna appears. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakulam Lokan, Ridyanti Yuge Yuge. Text 18. Demons, asuras cannot harm the demigods. Always have the Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to Krishna is extremely fortunate. Because such people are very much affectionate towards Krishna, they cannot be defeated by demons like the associates of Kamsa or the internal enemies, the senses. Text 19. In conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayan, in his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence. He is exactly like Narayana. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. Prabhupada, in this verse, the word Narayana Sama is significant. Narayana has no equal. He is asamvardha. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than he is, as stated in Shastra. Yes to Narayanam Devam, Brahmana, Brahma Rudradi, Daivatai. Samatve naiva viksheta sapandi bhavat sapasandi bhavat dhruvam. One who equates Narayana even with great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma is a pasandi, an agonist. Agnostic. No one can equal Narayana. Nonetheless, Gargamuni used the word sama, meaning equal, because he wanted to treat Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had become Nanda Maharaja's son. Gargamuni wanted to impress upon the mind of Nanda Maharaj, Your worshipful deity, Narayana, is so pleased with you that he has sent you a son almost equal to him in qualifications. Therefore, you may designate your son with a similar name, such as Mukunda or Madhusudana. But you must always remember that whenever you want to do something very good, there will always be many hindrances. Therefore, you should raise it and protect this child with great care. If you can protect this child very cautiously, as Narayana always protects you, the child will be as good as Narayana. Gargamuni also indicated that although the child was exaltedly qualified like Narayana, he would enjoy more than Narayana as Rasa Vihari, the central enjoyer of the Rasa dance. As said in the Brahma Samhita, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Saivyamanam. He would be served by many gopis who would be as good as the goddess of fortune. As good as Narayana. What that exactly means is not 100% clear. Almost as good as Narayana. Narayana is completely spiritual. Does that mean that Krishna would be spiritual? In other words, all of us were supposed to be as good as Narayana in our normal state. Qualitatively equal, but quantitatively not. So Gargamuni didn't say that he was going to be quantitatively as powerful as Narayana, but he was going to be as good as Narayana. In other words, when Krishna comes to display his pastimes in this world, the same pastimes or similar pastimes he displays in Goloka Vrindavan, the most important thing is not exactly his activities. Because after all, how many people would write a book about a cowherd boy herding cows every day? And even if they wrote such a book, how many people would buy it, especially in present society? But what's important is the consciousness that Krishna has and the consciousness that his devotees have. That's the most important thing. The atmosphere of pure prema. Now, the 10th canto can only be actually experienced after going through the first 9 cantos. Not only reading the first 9 cantos, which is always good to do, but actually assimilating the knowledge in the first 9 cantos so that one is not only liberated, one comes to the platform of Brahmanishta, but one has even surpassed the stages of Ruchi, Asakti, and has come at least to the stage of Bhava. Because the pastimes are just full of Bhava or feeling. Spiritual feelings. We also have feelings. They're not necessarily spiritual. We feel this body, how uncomfortable it is most of the time. And we find our minds, how disturbing our minds are. So we're also feeling. But in the spiritual world, there's only feelings of pleasure due to love, bhava. That's all they feel. So how can we understand that? We can't understand it. It's not possible to understand it in conditioned life. Should we try to understand it? Yes, we should try to understand it by following the process of understanding it. And if Krishna gives us the intelligence to understand it, then we might be able to gradually enter into the understanding. And the process, Krishna says, bhakti imam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. That one can understand me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through the process of bhakti. And when one is fully engaged in bhakti, then one can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So in other words, we're trying to perform bhakti. The 9 processes, beginning with hearing and chanting, the powerful process of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities. We're trying to do these things And we're hoping, as much as we do them sincerely and consistently, then Krishna will give us intelligence to gradually understand what we're doing. If we think we know what we're doing, and we're not in ecstatic love for Krishna right now, then we don't really know what we're doing. We know, we should at least know what we're trying to do. If we don't know what we're trying to do, then how will we see if we're actually doing it? The idea of loving someone we don't know is very difficult. But it just so happens that Krishna is not different from his name and his form, his quality, his pastimes. So we're trying to know Krishna by hearing Krishna's name, chanting Krishna's name, remembering Krishna's name, his form, his associates, etc. And we're trying to develop the sensibility, the feeling. So that's done mostly in the association of devotees. Our interaction with the devotees can also be done with the holy name, but because the holy name will not reveal himself to us, what to speak of his form, his quality, and his pastimes, unless we have the proper relation with the devotees. Because Krishna and his devotees are non-different, and therefore we can't, and one of the offenses against chanting the holy name is the first one is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives in the propagation of the holy name of the Lord. So, unless we have the proper relation with the, we enter into Krishna, understanding Krishna, mainly through our relation with the devotees. Matter of fact, unless we have a relation with the devotees, we won't even be inspired to hear about Krishna. Because we hear about Krishna from his devotees. Not only the speaker or the Bhagavatam, but also Prabhupada's books. We've gotten Prabhupada's books because Prabhupada's a devotee. Otherwise, it wouldn't have appeared here. Books don't just float in from Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna has to send his devotees in order to write them. Inarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga adhokshajay. That Srila Vyasadeva, after seeing, realizing Krishna, meditating upon Krishna, that, what is that verse? Bhakti yogena manasi, samyag pranihitam male, apaishat purusham purnam, maya chat tad apaishraya. After seeing Krishna by meditation and seeing that maya was on his backside, bhakti yogena manasi, samyak saprinihite mala, simply purely meditating upon Krishna by connecting his mind to Krishna. So what was he going to write about? Well, first of all, he not only saw maya was on the backside, but he also saw all living entities, and they were all bound up by maya because of forgetfulness of Krishna. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite mala, apaishat purusham purna maya cha tad apaishrayam. What's the next verse? Something about... Do we have the second... That's the first canto. Yes, something... Yasyatmaka jiva atmakam tri kuknatmakam paropi manyase narata maya cha tad apaishrayam. Then he saw that all the living entities, they're all samoha, completely bewildered by the illusory energy. After all, since we're all eternal, we must be completely bewildered by the material energy. Otherwise, how could we identify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, since we have nothing to do with them except to identify with them? If you put on a costume of Dracula, and you start believing you're Dracula, then you're in trouble. Then the only hope is the people with white coats were going to come and take you away and maybe help you out. If you sincerely believe you're Dracula and you look at everyone's throat and wonder what they taste like, then that's not a very healthy sign for a sane person. But we put on these hats and coats, these dresses, called the material bodies, and the subtle mind. And we're completely convinced this is us. So it's not a very sane position that we're in. So Prabhupada wrote one pamphlet, Who's Crazy? Of course, we're trying to become sane, but everyone else is completely crazy. Samoha. I didn't make it up. I'm not criticizing. I'm just repeating with Vyasadeva in his meditation. Samohita jiva. That he saw all the jivas are all completely bewildered by illusion. Yasamohita jiva atmakam tri guna. And therefore they're suffering the threefold miseries. Is this good to suffer the threefold miseries? Does everyone want to suffer? Did anyone come here to the material world to suffer? But that's what happens. It comes along with the body. Atmakam tri paropi manyate narata. And this is due to our narthas. We're doing things we're not supposed to be doing. And therefore we're misidentifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies. And therefore we're suffering. And if we do the right thing, then we won't suffer anymore. We'll be blissful. It's simply our choice. Whether we want to hear and chant and serve Krishna, about Krishna, and serve him, or work for our false ego. Trying to create a paradise for ourselves in this miserable world. Paropi manyate narata. Atmakam tri atmakam manyate narata. Therefore, bhakti yoga anarta pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga adhokshade. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam so we can hear about Krishna and find out how to become sane again, how to enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding, enter into the mysteries of our relationship with Krishna. So here, Nanda Maharaj, he is eternally a father of Krishna, and therefore even he gets Krishna, he never really thinks Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He simply thinks Krishna is his beloved child. Maybe as good as Narayan, of course he's as good as Narayan. Krishna is wonderful. He's a wonderful child. Therefore, Narayan is my worshipful deity. So Krishna is wonderful too. Narayan wouldn't send me anything which wasn't wonderful because Narayan's wonderful. But he sees Krishna not as wonderful because he's strong and powerful, although he may appreciate that, but he sees he's wonderful because he's a wonderful child. Therefore, we have to try to enter into this mood, at least appreciate it, even if we can't feel it. But Narada Maharaj is giving us an opportunity. If we meditate upon him, eventually Krishna may give us the intelligence to feel what Narada Maharaj is feeling. But we have to qualify ourselves through the different processes. Krishna, we can't jump to feeling transcendentally, but we can jump to feeling properly in the mode of goodness, properly see things properly, and reciprocate with others properly. And that's practically transcendental. And it may even turn into transcendental. That if one concentrates his mind upon the five powerful processes, then one can feel feeling, it says. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, chanting his name, worshiping the deity, serving the devotees, and trying to make the atmosphere spiritual and preaching, especially. Then if we try to feel while we're doing these activities, and we try to feel, which means that we concentrate on them, we do them as sincerely as possible, with attention, and with a happy, joyous mood, expecting Krishna's mercy, then Krishna may allow us to feel something. And then we can gradually understand what we're actually here for, what it's all about. And thus one can feel transcendentally, and thus one gets some higher taste, higher experience, one will simply try to work for one's false ego, even when we're working in the midst of the devotees. Only when we experience what it's like to be truly in love, humble, tolerant, appreciative of Krishna and his devotees, Only when we get a little feeling like that can we understand what direction my life is supposed to take. Otherwise, we'll judge everything externally, and therefore we won't actually, as Queen Kunti said, we won't be able to actually feel when we're chanting Hare Krishna. If our goals are material, and they must be, if we're not experiencing Krishna consciousness, actually becoming conscious of Krishna and the consciousness of the loving exchanges he has with his devotees, if we're not trying to have loving exchanges with the devotees that are right around us, if we think they're all ordinary persons and only in the Bhagavatam are there extraordinary people, then we've missed the whole point that everyone has an eternal relationship with Krishna. And while they're performing devotional service, they're actually under the spiritual energy. It's not the material energy that's being manifested, it's the spiritual energy. And if I want to be manifest the spiritual energy in relationship to devotees, then I have to act as if they're the part of the spiritual energy, not part of the material energy. Then I'll be able to experience the spiritual energy in those relationships. Now, it doesn't really matter what everyone else is doing. The only thing, if we want to enter into the spiritual energy, it just matters what we're doing, how we see things. Not that we have to change everything, everyone else, and then we can enter into the spiritual energy. We just have to change our consciousness, and then we'll be in the spiritual energy. And then we'll be able to experience a reciprocal love exchange with not only Krishna, through the devotees, with Krishna. We'll be able to appreciate how the devotees, although perhaps not as qualified as the exalted devotees in Goloka Vrindavan, still they're under the spiritual energy as much as they're taking shelter of the process of devotional service. Then we can have some actual direct, then we can actually appreciate where we are and what we're doing. Otherwise, we just think it's some kind of business where we're just, you know, distributing books and making money and getting something to eat and a place to sleep. We've just missed the whole point, what we're doing here, what the whole thing's about. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thanks for the lecture. So because we are in material world, we are all bewildered because we are not like pure devotees yet. So how can we be less stressful or less attracted to some material actions? Or
don't cheat. There are four defects of conditioned souls. One of them is imperfect senses. So that we have imperfect senses and they're not about to become perfect. We're not about to see the super soul in everyone's heart. We also commit mistakes. I mean, just being in the material world was our first mistake. And after that, everything else is more or less a mistake, except for what we're doing in devotional service. And we have a tendency to be an illusion. Is there any part of the day that you think that you realize you're a spirit soul? So these things we can't avoid. But what we can avoid is cheating. They try and pretend we're something we're not. Pretend that we're some kind of exalted personality. I don't need any help from anyone because I'm so advanced. Anyone who points out a defect, they must be in Maya because there are no defects. So we have to at least not cheat and understand our fallen position and try to act accordingly to become elevated. Not that I realize I'm fallen. So therefore I spend the rest of the day lamenting. Oh, I'm fallen, I'm rotten, I'm no good. No. As soon as we should understand, anyone in the bodily concept of life is fallen. And I'm also in the bodily concept of life, so I'm also fallen. But now I have to do what's necessary so I become elevated. So at least I won't be cheating, thinking that everything's all right, prasadam's on time, I have a nice place to sleep. Everything's cool. No one's yelling at me yet. So, we have to realize our fallen position and humbly try to work towards elevating ourselves. And humility is the basic principle. humbly serving, whatever our position, humbly realizing that by the mercy of our disciplic succession and Prabhupada and his representatives, therefore I have an opportunity to engage in service to Krishna and his devotees. And I should take that opportunity in a humble way, tolerating and appreciative way, so that gradually I can take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, give up my unwanted desires and attachments, and take shelter of Krishna, and therefore actually enter into pure devotional service. That should be our goal. Yes.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Tell me, how can we be humble when we are disturbed? Because it's hard to be humble when you are disturbed. How to overcome this?
Well, the question is, how could if we have knowledge, it's inevitable we must be humble. If we remember we're 1/10,000th the size of Tiberian size, no matter how disturbed you are, we don't grow any bigger.
I think.
Anything else? So, what has everyone understood from this class? Let's go around. Lilita Govinda, give him the microphone. Can you tell us what you've understood from the class? Any comments or what you've understood?
I will try to recall. So, I relish the lecture, really. But theoretically, I understand everything, somehow. But then to put in practice and see my part in this role, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Because these defects, always searching for what is wrong, what is not good. This must be like that, this must be like that. This is my problem always. So, I don't know how to overcome these things, because theoretically we know how must things be in goodness. Goodness is actually platform from where we start, but we cannot do anything, almost. So I like this, that you say we must change our consciousness first, then everything will change. Somehow, this I understood.
Yes, so that's perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mukunda, what did you understand?
I must be humble.
You're the only one who should be humble. Yes. That's good.
Basically, it's like, you know, that I have to come out of tamaguna towards goodness.
That's a fantastic realization. Should tell everyone that.
But how to get there, it's not so easy.
Well, depending on. Do you think you're going to get there?
By following the footsteps of the people who are in goodness.
Yes, very good. Natika Chandrika. Do you say in Sloven?
Bom povedala slovensko, ja. Hvala lepa za lekcijo. Sem razmišljala, da v tej poziciji, ki sem jaz zdaj le in ki živim v templju, šti prevaja.
In this position that I'm in right now, when I'm living in the temple, like a new devotee, I'm doing many mistakes because I don't yet have so much realized knowledge. I miss something that older devotees a lot of times could be really criticizing others. And maybe give too little support to new devotees, something like that. And so, in this way, I sometimes feel stressed because I don't know how to perfectly do my role. I'm still a little I don't know how to serve perfectly. I feel naturally like I have to serve Krishna and devotees, but I still sometimes do mistakes. So these mistakes stress me.
Well, actually, mistakes shouldn't stress you. Should be happy to find out what mistakes you're making. Because when you find out what mistakes you're making, then you can correct them. Otherwise, we're going through life making mistakes unconsciously. Therefore, there's no way of correcting them. So Krishna, generally, he shows us one mistake or two mistakes at a time. And then when we correct them, we shouldn't think, well, now I've corrected these one or two mistakes, now I'm perfect. We should be ready for the next mistakes to be revealed to us. So that gradually we can become perfect. So when we find out we're making mistakes, we shouldn't be in distress, we should be happy. Because without that, we can't actually become perfect. Unless Krishna reveals to us our mistakes, there's no way we can correct them and become perfect. So we should be happy to find out what our mistakes are. Madhuji.
Thank you for the lecture. One thing I remember from the purport, and you then spoke more about this, that Prabhupada said that whenever we want to do something good, disturbance will come or difficulties will come. And then you explain the process. You know, it's not just that we come to Krishna. You said we should associate with the devotees, and then you stressed Prabhupada is a devotee. We associate with Prabhupada while in the Bhagavatam. And the devotees we are surrounded with. So this is like, so we want to have a goal, and we say, yeah, we go, but in the association we get purified, like you explained.
Great, thank you. Wow. Who's next? Say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Great.
Narsimha Seva. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. I realized that if you don't know, if you don't have knowledge about Krishna, you can't love him. And if you have more knowledge, then you are more deep in process and you do things less automatically and more with devotion. Hare
Good.
Krishna.
Thank you.
It was interesting for me this Pashandi when what means that if someone thinks that Narayana is the Shiva is equal to Narayana, it's an illusion. That was interesting. Then when you said that Krishna and his devotees are non-different.
Qualitatively.
Pardon?
Qualitatively.
Yeah, qualitatively. Yes.
Yeah.
We are small. That's, but otherwise, it's still the most important thing is that we are humble.
That's the beginning, sir.
The six. Always.
Well, humility and love, they go together. Yeah. You can't be in love unless you're humble. You love your dog, you have to have some appreciation. You have to feel something that he's better than you are in some ways. Otherwise, how can you love your dog? Because we don't have dogs, so we don't know about these things. Simon.
Hare Krishna. So I think that this relationships between devotees is like the most important thing at, for me and for everybody, I hope, because we can like grow faster if we have good relationships, and we can make a like strong community. That's what I think. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. What's this? Here.
Bhakta Mirko.
Bhakta Mirko.
Like he said, the real devotional service begins in, you said, in association with devotees, loving relationships. No, but first also like Lalit Govinda, our consciousness that we change and everything. And through these six loving like in this is also, and then can be major community and grow up. And you are a perfect example of.
No, certainly not perfect, but we're all trying to be an example.
Yeah.
Something, do the best we can. By the mercy of Krishna, whatever intelligence he gives us, whatever realizations, and we get better, that's all. Kala Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.